Hello.
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 Hello. Hello.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Hello.
I think I speak for everyone here when I say, huh?
Here we are now. Entertainers.
Made of fail.
We never promised content.
Okay, at this point you're abusing sarcasm.
Come on, let's get this gay show on the gay road. Help me out here.
Good evening, everybody. I am Kevin.
I'm Typhoid Dana.
And this is Made of Phlegm.
Fail.
failing phlegm.
Yeah, we were going to do a show last week. I went over to Kevin's house and, well, he was ill. Had a 102-degree fever, insisted that he was perfectly fine, so I had to, under strict orders from his girlfriend, baby him, and of course, I got his cold. So it's going to be kind of a hacky-weezy episode.
Also, because of some sort of connection issue, we are joined tonight by Maxine Headroom, so just to let you know.
I don't sound like Max Headroom.
Well, you've got... Trust me, when you listen to this, you'll be like, hey, you're right.
No, I'm just naturally distorted.
Ah, okay. But anyway, I'll be trying to edit out the worst of the coughing and the sniffling after this is over, but...
Don't even mention you're going to edit it, because seriously, if you
well,
do
because
it
there's
right,
going
nobody's
to be others...
even know.
Well, because there's going to be ones that are unavoidable, like that one right there.
Aren't we supposed to be giving the impression that we're perfect and don't require editing?
A lie of that magnitude would cause the universe to implode, yes.
Dogs and cats living together, 40 years of darkness.
Mass hysteria.
Do you know that every time we do an episode, somebody dies?
Really?
Michael Turner died on, when was it? June 27th. It was like right after we recorded our last episode. Michael Turner did the, he created Fathom. He's a comic book artist, and he drew Witchblade for a great number of years. The only recent thing that I have that he did, which isn't really recent at all, it's a couple years old, was the DC miniseries Identity Crisis that he did all the covers for.
Didn't you have, like, the best eulogy ever in the world?
I did, on Scans Daily, where I heard about it. I'm not a huge fan of his art, but, I mean, he died really young of cancer, and nobody really deserves that. So, mm-hmm. I said, may you be resting in a heaven full of tiny, wasted, and huge-eyed, anatomically incorrect angels. Which was a big hit.
Amen.
Yeah.
All right. Well, this is the third episode of Made of Fail. I can't believe we made it this far. This is honestly pretty awesome.
We're actually like, oh, we're getting random listeners now. We had some guy out of Minnesota.
Yeah, hi, by the way.
Hi, guy.
If you are a friend of 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 a, like I have the feeling you are
of a Kevin Bacon.
Who are you? Honestly, it's just like, or are you honestly completely random listener? Because if so, that is incredibly awesome. So, yes. Random guy in Minnesota, hello, thank you. You are now one third of our listener database.
Random guy actually took me to task for mentioning that I remember when I was talking about torrenting She-Hulk. Yeah,
yes.
he got on my ass about downloading torrents and not paying money for, you know, Peter David's books. And I love Peter David, and I'd gladly spend money on him if I wasn't broke. And my excuse is that there's no such thing as renting a comic book. I mean, you can check out books from a library, magazines, newspapers, whatever. You can rent videos, but there's no access for comic books or anything like that. And then when you do, all the digital distribution right now really sucks ass. And when you go and you do it, like, just as a plain old CBR format, it's way too easy to just, you know, free file share it like they do with MP3s now. Mm-hmm. I think it's got the same problem as MP3s, actually. It's just far too easy to get them for free, and so that's what everybody does. But I buy comics in trade or single issue if I really, really, really like them. I promise. It's
well, again,
just,
that's
I'm
how
really...
you got into Ultimate Spider-Man.
And, I got into a lot of Ultimate titles. I'm actually purchasing Ultimate Spider-Man and Ultimate X-Men because of torrents.
Well, there you go.
So
well,
there.
And so it's a mixed issue with me, but...
I fully agree in supporting the artists, you know, supporting the creators at all costs.
Right, and that's just the main thing.
Yeah, I mean, I still download issues that I buy that I have in my pull box right now just because I don't want to wait to read the story
Of
every time.
course, though, because we do have, apparently one person die every time we do an episode. Joe Quesada, we're looking at you.
You're next, dude. I don't
Okay.
know. I kind of want Dan DiDio to join the Teen Titans so he can get killed off.
Really?
Yeah, well, he Teen Titans Young, anything that was ever cool, he likes to destroy. I'm still
Ah.
sad at him for putting Anima in a coma. Nobody knows who that is, so don't worry about it.
Okay. All right. Well, third episode, which means our third consecutive segment of Why Stuff Is Awesome. Dana, what's awesome this week?
I told you I was going to surprise you with it, and this is actually going to come as no surprise to anybody who knows me. Why the Angry Video Game Nerd is not only awesome, but expletive deleted awesome, shall
Insert Pac-Man bleep here. Awesome.
Anyway, Angry Video Game Nerd, if you don't live on the internet like we do, and if you don't, why are you listening to us? He is a guy, roughly our age, about 27, 28, who is an amateur filmmaker. His real name is James Rolfe. And some years back, he decided, as a joke, he was going to do a little video game review of Simon's Quest for the NES and just rip it to shreds. So he created a character called the Angry Video Game Nerd, who's just, he looks like a dork's got glasses and a, shirt with a pocket pouch and khakis, and he just I can't really talk about the nerd and have to watch my mouth, Kevin. This is really hard to do. But
It's okay. I mean,
it's
anything really, really major, I'll just Pac-Man bleep over it. Otherwise, I think our listeners can get away with the standard stuff.
anyway, so he went on from Simon's Quest to just doing these things for his friends. He did Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde next, which don't play. I'm not even kidding. And then Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. And then his friends made him start YouTubing it, and it's the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles review that really took off because so many people had that game, and so many people
I remember
hated that
playing it.
game.
I loved that game.
I can't get past the damn level in both senses of the word, both the expletive and the
Well,
level.
I don't think anybody was ever able to get past that. The entire game to me, see, I grew up this. I grew up with my uncle had a Nintendo system since he was one of the first. I think he was one of the first people to get it. So he had all the good stuff and all the original booklets and everything, and so I grew up whenever we went over to my grandparents' house and he was there. We played Nintendo whenever my mom was pregnant and had to go to the hospital. We had a Nintendo Fest over with Uncle Mike, so I mean that was twice. So I grew up with the Nintendo with at a regular or semi-regular access and. The Ninja Turtles game, I loved it because I was such a huge fan of the Ninja Turtles. But to me, the entire game was the stuff before the dam level. That
My
was the entire game
husband
to me. I
Carl.
didn't, I couldn't get past to the navigating the dam. So I was like, you know what? For the rest of my
This
life,
is the
this
whole
is the entire
screw
game
it.
for me.
My husband claims that he can get through that level, and I've never seen him do it. You okay over there?
Yeah, I'm fine. Just ignore me coughing.
Yeah, all right. So anyway, James Rolfe put up these videos, and to his shock and surprise, struck a chord with any number of people who were endlessly frustrated by these things, and they begged him to do more, and since it didn't take a lot of time or effort for him to do them, he did just a slew of these things, and it exploded over YouTube. And he ended up getting, so many fans, and so he started putting, more time and effort in these things. So he's got maybe 50 some odd reviews, like 50 or 60 reviews or something like that, on his website, which is cinemassacre.com. And it's always like, I think he's awesome. Not just, it's so easy to just tear apart a bad game. It really is. And
but he
I
does
had a
it
lot of
with
that in my
it's
childhood.
very very unique. He does it really, really creatively. And he always, I've noticed he always has the same phrase that he uses every time, which is, "This game is an S load of F." That's like
I
his
started
signature.
Using that a lot whenever I'm playing just some horrible thing.
It's an S load of F.
Yeah, and then from his Top Gun on review, every time I start failing massively at some game or another, I just start screaming out, "Ass!" And it's so satisfying to hear. But he's also not. I think it took off not only because he struck a chord with, you know, our generation kind of grew up on the Nintendo, and the Nintendo had so many games, and there was no internet back then. You couldn't really figure out what was good or what was bad. I mean, even, you know, reading Nintendo Power, they just sort of fawn over every single game. It's not like I've rarely seen a bad review in Nintendo Power.
Well, it's because they're the ones making, or they're the ones distributing the game. They want people to actually buy them.
Yeah. So it was just really hit or miss. I mean, you'd spend $40-$50 for a game, and you wouldn't know whether it sucked ass or not until you played it, and then you got totally gypped. I probably have, at the time, you know, $400-$500 worth back in 1980-something dollars of Nintendo games locked in a closet somewhere. And I honestly lost a whole bunch of them, and I don't really miss them. Because
well, here's
some of
what
them
I have to
terrible.
Say about our generation being supposedly blinded by nostalgia, about saying how we remember all the old games and how they were, in our minds, some of the best ones. But there was a friend of mine, actually, who went by the tag of Phalanx. I don't know his real name, and I haven't seen him in years.
Mm-hmm.
But he said this once, and I had to write it down. He said, "No future generation will have the breadth, the experience that we've accumulated over the years. Our skills were honed under the fires of Bowser, minds sharpened by the complex unfolding plans of Tetris and the devilish dungeons of Zelda. Long before the internet was created, where all we had was our wits and reflexes to get us by." And
you know, to this day, I think I'm going to be eaten by a Gru.
You are, honestly, but
it's
you
very
know,
likely.
It is very, well, you tend to hide in the dark anyway.
All right, but the thing with the nerd is that it's not just nostalgia that's hitting us, although that's part of it too. But the appeal is that he goes out of his way to do something new every single time, and you never really know what you're gonna see. I mean, like, and
he has a lot of fun with this. It's very anybody who watches this will understand what we mean when you say he's it's just incredibly creative with the way he does things, and he
right it would
he
it would
pays
be so
tribute
easy.
To all of it at the same time while completely ripping the hell out of it.
And it would be so easy for the whole show to go stale because it's essentially just, you know, ripping on a game every single episode. And he
it's
goes out of his way
of
to
F.
switch it up. He could do a fairly straightforward review, or he could give us, when he did his Atari porn series, he actually kind of went into the history of the development of some of these things, also in the Bible game series for the NES.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's a video game historian.
Honestly, yeah.
As much as he is a gamer. And
if,
he goes out
G4
of his way
ever
to, like,
started airing this, it would get the same kind of advertisements that like Wild West Tech gets on the History Channel and stuff like that.
Right, and he's extremely over the top too. The thing that a lot of people don't realize is that the nerd is a character. It's not James Rolfe, you know, doing this. I mean, he's even admitted that when he did when he did the first one, Simon's Quest, he actually really likes that game, but there's so many frustrating things about it. It drives him absolutely crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where that well of frustration comes from. In real life, I've seen a lot of interviews and heard some interviews with him online, and he's this very shy, self-effacing guy. And you can barely get more than two words out of him, you know, per sentence. And then he just, it's so, his acting ability is actually on par or better than his filmmaking ability.
It's like the difference between Seth Green and Daniel Osborne, except the other way around.
Really? Because I every time
it's
I
the
see
other way around.
Seth Green in person, he seems kind of laconic too.
Yeah, but not nearly as much as his character. And when he really gets into something.
Yeah.
Okay, maybe it's a bad analogy, but it's the best one I can think of at the moment.
Yeah.
We're operating at about 50% efficiency right now with both of our colds, so I do apologize if things that we say don't make sense, such as, you know, the phrase equine trebuchet.
Well, what's the no more equine trebuchets.
Yeah.
So what's the excuse for the rest of the time for not operating at full efficiency now? We don't make sense of the rest of the time. Are we just always sick?
No, the rest of the time people
Kevin.
Just don't understand us. We're just misunderstood.
Anyway, so not only when you watch to sort of sum up this whole why the angry video game nerd is awesome thing, it's not just the nostalgia. It's not just the he's giving a voice to the frustrated 8-year-old in each one of us.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just his creativity. It's not just his acting. It's the full package. And as the if you watch them all in a row, you really get to see, you know, this is a guy who's loving what he's doing, and you can actually see him develop as a filmmaker and a cinematographer and just an artist in general. Because, I mean, the first episodes are so simplistic, and then you see something like the Super Mario Brothers 3 review.
Which was pretty much nothing but awesome.
When you see him, you know, fighting off a possessed Nintendo cartridge with all the NES peripherals. And I can't tell you how
Cyber,
happy it was
yeah.
to see the PowerPoint.
I'm not going to ruin it.
Alongside Super Mecha Death Christ 2000.
Yes.
Which is just awesome.
Mega Death Christ 2000.
He's a filmmaker, and his nerd character is really getting people involved in seeing, you know, more of his own personal stuff, which I've seen some of his zombie stuff, one of which he did for a George Romero contest, and I still don't know how that turned out. He hasn't said anything about it. But I just love really super talented creative people and the dedication that they have to their craft, and more than anything, I think I just admire James Rolfe for just finding something that he loves to do and sticking to it and going out of his way to
and whipping
make
things
people
in
happy.
A leather outfit.
And what?
Whipping things in a leather Indiana Jones outfit. You can't forget how much you love that one.
I was trying really hard not to sound too biased because everybody and their brother knows that I have this huge, unabiding crush on James Rolfe because he is, I don't know what it is. He's gorgeous, and then he got all dolled
and
up.
You're
and
you're married.
Like, I know! I have eyes and stuff.
Okay. I can't fault you for that.
Yeah, well, he's married too, you know, bless him. I hope he's
happy.
Well,
there you go.
He's just really ungodly gorgeous, and sexiness plus super intelligence plus creativity plus, by the way, video game nerd, that goes a long way with me. So I'm kind of helpless. So you never know. Maybe someday this episode will work its way over to him.
And if so, I apologize not only for the sneezing, but also for Maxine Headroom. Trust me, you're going to listen to this, and you're going to be like, how the hell did that come out like that? There's something wrong with your connection, man.
Man, I don't know. I can't hear it, honestly. I know my voice, you said, is an octave higher because every time...
No, it's specifically from the connection. It's
well, fine.
When
then.
I say Max Headroom, there's only one kind of distortion that you think of.
You know, honestly, I could always do that stutter.
That's what it's doing. That's what it's doing with the connection. You're doing a kind of a stutter thing, but it's because of that. So don't you'll get it when you hear it. So
fantastic! I'm actually doing a good show for a change, and I'm gonna end up sounding like crap.
That's okay.
All right, what do you got for us, Kevin? What are you contributing?
My sexiness and the fact that I actually know
you
how to run this thing.
You gotta contribute a lot more.
This is my show, okay? You know, I can contribute exactly how much I want to. And that's part of our sodium is that we...
Working off of sexiness and charisma, there's a lot more you gotta contribute then. I don't know if your girlfriend's gonna punch me for saying that or be glad that I'm not attracted to you.
Thank you, Dana.
Maybe a little
so much.
I love you, Kevin.
Love you too. anyway. So, actually, I did have something I wanted to talk about, and that is, of course...
Knock myself off, come on.
Well, basically, everybody here knows of Joss Whedon, if only because of the fact that we talk about him so much. The two of us tend to be massive Whedon files. And... what he did, I believe he wrote this during the writer's strike, so he had something to do. He wrote this with some of his friends and his family, actually, and then filmed it and is in the act of putting this online. And I refer, of course, to Dr. Horrible's sing-along blog. And it's a story of three episodes, the third of which will be... released tomorrow, because today is the 18th. However, I don't know when this is actually going to be posted, so chances are
it'll be up
because it's probably going to be up in like the next 3 hours anyway. It's three episodes of Neil Patrick Harris playing Dr. Horrible and his arch nemesis Nathan Fillion as Captain Hammer.
Get out.
And Felicia Day as Dr. Horrible's love interest, girl at the laundromat that he has a crush on. And it's adorable, and it's Joss Whedon, and it's a musical, and it's Joss Whedon, and I've only seen the first two episodes so far. The third one's I'm expecting to completely blow me away. The first two... already have, so if you have not yet seen this, go look it up. You can stream the videos at drhorrible.com. The non-sing-along blog of the Dr. Horrible blog is at drhorrible.net, and you can also purchase the episodes off of iTunes and not have to stream them from the internet and watch them whenever you want, also on your iPod. So, Dr. Horrible, check it out if you have not already done so.
Well, I would, but I'm doing a show.
Well, you're going to watch it afterwards, right?
I'm going to watch it as soon as the third one's up so I can do a little mini marathon. The entire internet is taking me to task for not having seen it yet.
Well, I'm surprised you haven't yet, you being such a huge Joss Whedon fan.
I have been nostril deep in phlegm and Final Fantasy V. So I've been a little
interchangeable,
bit...
by the way.
be nice. I like that game.
Ah, so do I. I mock because I love. And also because I mock. Imitation is the highest form of mockery.
Oh, speaking of mockery... Do you want to tell that
short story
of how Fallout Boy laughed at me?
Which usually it's the other way around. But Fallout Boy has actually laughed at Dana. So we were hanging out.
Let me set it up and then you can finish it off because I don't know the second half. Let me do the setup. So I'm bored at home and I admit that even though I'm not a fan, per se, of Fall Out Boy, I don't think they're a very good band, and I think their lyrics are kind of stupid, but I am a sucker for a hook in pop songs, and if there's anything that they do pretty well, it's they have that whole overproduced hook thing. So, on occasion, I kind of get sucked into the catchiness of a couple of their tunes. So, this is my grudging admission that I'll listen to them, but I wouldn't go see them or buy an album or anything like that. Because I'm way too hip, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm listening to Thanks for the Memories. And do you remember a couple episodes ago, it was last episode, we were talking about paying attention to the lyrics and songs?
Exactly, yes.
Well, I accidentally did that.
And what conclusion did you jump to?
The chorus to the song, well, the whole song he's talking about, like, some girl or whatever. And it gets to the chorus, and it goes, "Thanks for the memories, even if they weren't that great. He tastes like you, only sweeter." And it just kind of hit me all at once. It kind of sounds like he's ditching his girlfriend for a one-night stand with a guy, which would have been awesome to stick into a pop song. I mean, seriously, just you can't randomly tell me that you can't.
I mean, Franz Ferdinand does that a lot. Or is that Modest Mouse? One of those two have very clearly homosexual-themed songs, and I'm pretty sure it's Franz Ferdinand.
Anyway, so that's the conclusion that I drew. And so I'm at Kevin's and I'm mentioning this to him, and he's like, "Oh, my friend." Well, you know what? You tell the second half.
Yeah. Well, my friend Debbie, who used to be really big into the local band scene and still is fairly big into the local band scene. And you know, Chicago local bands often make it big. I will present the cases
awesome
of Fallout Boy, Plain White Tees. I always get this really awesome vibe when I hear them on nationally syndicated TV and radio, because, you know, Debbie introduced me to their music before anybody else had ever heard of them. Swizzle Tree is also another really good one. Dana's a big fan of the Buzz Spectres. Mm-hmm. Local H. There's a lot of really good local bands.
You're tangenting.
I'm tangent. Okay. Debbie knows most of them. She would attend the concerts, go backstage, hang out with them, a lot of them have her number on their cell phones. She talks to them on a regular basis. So I was like, well, she knows some people from Fall Out Boy. Let's ask her and see if she can ask around and find out if that's actually the case. So I called her and asked her. I told her our hypothesis, and she laughed and said, "You know what? I'll ask Nikki." So couple hours later, she texts me back, and here, let me get the
I was gonna say, do you have
the
your
text
phone?
Exactly. I have the text exactly, and it's right here. And from Debbie, it's about Pete Wentz getting back with his ex Jenna. I'm not entirely sure that's how it's pronounced, but it not being the same. They dated for 7 years. By the way, I got 4 haha texts when I gave your idea on the meaning.
And that is the lengthy short story of how Fall Out Boy laughed at me.
Mm-hmm.
Dead air, you're gonna have to cut that.
Oh, thank you. It's you just have to call us chicken.
I got another story.
Wow, that was fast. Okay, another story.
Speaking of chickens, you're gonna love this. I don't know if I've told you this one before. Some years ago, I'm gonna try to keep names out of this, okay?
Okay, so no names.
To protect the guilty. I dated this guy maybe 7 years ago. And this is a secondhand story, but it's still really great.
Let's call him George, just for the sake of actually having
no,
a placeholder
name. I'm just going to call him ex-boyfriend.
Ex-boyfriend. Okay, some sort of placeholder name that make it easier. Okay.
Well, ex-boyfriend and I have a ton of mutual common. And one of them he has known since middle school.
Mm-hmm.
So, mutual friend, as a gag gift, buys ex-boyfriend a pair of underwear that has a chicken on it and a little sensor, so that when ex-boyfriend was, shall we say, aroused, it would make a noise. It would go, or whatever. I can't do that right now. I got a cold. And in case I didn't tell you already, I'm sick. So anyway, so this is middle school. You're an adolescent, hormones raging. And ex-boyfriend at the time had a crush on another mutual friend of ours. So he was sitting behind mutual female friend in class. And getting an erection in class is embarrassing, so I hear, for like a 13-year-old anyway, right?
So the entire classroom hears the crowing of the cock?
Shall we say.
So to speak.
Yeah. And that's the story as it was told to me by a mutual male friend. And
why would you wear that to school?
Exactly. I would have felt really bad.
That's like a gag gift that you laugh at and then you put away on the shelf and you never touch again.
I would have felt really, really bad for ex-boyfriend, but he brought that on himself, to be perfectly honest with you. And I had another comment about that, but it's a little risque and kind of mean, and I don't really harbor too many ill feelings.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, so that's the chicken under. To this day, I still am kind of pissed off that he never showed me the underwear. So, I don't know. Maybe I can get mutual friend to. I don't even think he still has them. I don't talk to him.
Well, but that would have been. You never know. He wears them, so maybe he still is wearing them.
I'm dropping it, dude. I'm letting it go.
Okay.
But it was. I just you know, chicken story and. Although one time when I was living in New Orleans, my husband and I were going to Magazine Street from where we lived uptown. And we're walking to Magazine, and out of the middle of nowhere, so help me God, a chicken crossed the road right in front of us.
Why?
And I don't know, Kevin. Honestly, I was just literally like what I'm doing now is what I did then, only with fewer words and more just strangled syllables.
And
I was literally like just pinned to the sidewalk making vowel sounds because
a chicken crossed the road.
Yes. What the hell? It still freaks me out this day.
I can imagine.
All right, your turn. Do something funny.
I don't know. What would be funny?
I could get the feline trebuchet.
Don't get the feline trebuchet.
I got cats over here. It's not.
I know. well, got a little bit of video game news. For those of you who don't know yet, Chrono Trigger has been confirmed that it is going to be ported to the DS.
I had a massive freak out when I heard about it, and I texted Kevin, and I'm like, you know, oh my holy expletive, they're remaking Chrono Trigger for the DS, and he texts me back, and he goes, no, it's going to be a port. And I was just like, gee, do you also run around, like, popping little kids' balloons for fun?
Well, you know, it's a port, and I'm not saying ports are bad. I like ports. Ports are good. They need to port, like, Super Metroid to the Game Boy. But,
That would be neat. Come to think of it.
Yeah, I mean, they already have the ability to do it. They would be able to make it. They would be able to remake it like they remade the original Metroid with. Because honestly,
when they did
Metroid
Zero Mission,
Zero Mission actually has better graphics and higher technology than Super Metroid ever had. Super Metroid still remains one of EGM's top 100 video games. It was number one. I think about 5 years ago when they did their 100 game countdown of the greatest video games of all time.
And you know what? I suck at it.
I'm
not ashamed to admit it. I am horrible at shooters. I am horrible at side scrollers. And shames my ancestors for about five generations back.
Well, when you were watching me play Portal, you were cringing because the screen was making you wish you had Dramamine.
I have problems with spatial relationships. I get turned around really easy.
Mm.
Speaking of really easy, how is your ex-girlfriend?
Oh, probably listening to this show because she stalks me.
Anyway, Chrono Trigger, ports, and I know, I just totally... It's going to be an enhanced port, is what I'm hearing. There's going to be like bonus dungeons and stuff. But they're keeping it as close to the Super Nintendo version as they can, which is great because I never actually played it all the way through. I remember starting it half a dozen times when I was a kid and never really finishing it because I never owned it. I just rented it.
My World of Warcraft friend Thalandar has actually has a 10-year game going. It is still plugged into his Super Nintendo. That is still plugged into his TV. He's got a 10-year game going, and I'm not entirely certain how he's going to feel about the port, but he's still going to be playing his same Super Nintendo save.
You know what? If it still works, more power to him.
Exactly. There you go.
But we were talking about ports and old games, and there's a new game coming out in October called, I believe it's pronounced Teresia, correct me if I'm wrong, I'm going to link it. Okay. And what I heard about, it's going to be kind of like a horror game, like a horror adventure kind of thing, and, you know, it's just collecting items, combining them, it's a maze, everything that I'm hearing, they're saying it's like Shadowgate. And I
really?
Just wet myself because that is one of my favorite NES games of all time, which in and of itself is a port of an old point-and-click game from ICOM for, you know, they were old Apple computers, but I'm probably going to get corrected on that. But back in the late 80s, early 90s, like around 88, 89, the company Kemco Seika did a sort of an unrelated trilogy of adaptations of old point-and-click games for the NES. And it was Shadowgate, Deja Vu, and Uninvited. And it was all first-person, and you'd sort of, like, you know, select an item. And they were just these puzzle games, and you'd have to figure out these things. They were very, very text-heavy. And as I'm reading more about Teresia, I keep thinking, do you know what would be freaking awesome? If they took Shadowgate, Deja Vu, Deja Vu 2, and Uninvited, and put them all on one cartridge for the DS, because how perfect would an old PC clicker be for the stylus technology nowadays? And can
Very
you imagine
perfect.
What kind of graphical capabilities?
That would be awesome. Wow. I never thought of that.
To this day, I've been asking around, like, all kinds of communities, like, you know, do you guys know, you know, the addresses of, you know, how do we figure out who owns the license to these games right now? And where can I send a very long petition for these games to get remade? Because if they can see, if Nintendo can develop or distribute this, and they know there's a huge fan base for these games, I bet you $1 million... with a big enough campaign, we could see this by like 2012, 2013.
Excellent.
Because
I would
just fangirl die if I got these games.
Well,
Shadowgate, Deja Vu 1, and Deja Vu 2, which was not on the NES, did get ports to the Game Boy Color back in the day, which is really great.
Mm-hmm.
Because my Shadowgate copy kind of died on me. I played it so much.
Mm-hmm.
But Uninvited got shafted completely. It was on some mobile phone at some point or another, but, you know, it's not the same, and I would really,
right.
really love to see it updated. If Teresia does well, I think it will show that there's a really big market for this sort of thing.
Definitely.
And I
well,
would love
if,
to find out. Yeah.
If we're able to get a petition going, we will say so in a future episode. We will go ahead and link to that if that ever gets off the ground, so we will keep you updated on that.
I would absolutely love to see all four of those games. Just the whole, like, the interface. I mean, it's a mouse and it's a screen. Okay, well, it's a stylus and it's a portable screen. Welcome
to
the millennium, and I would love to see it.
Perfect. Which actually brings me to the topic of our first web poll.
I'm not all web right. pole dancing.
Thank you.
I keep telling
Use
you.
Use that joke already.
Well, it's still funny. Maybe if I do it, we'll get more listeners. I'll tell you what, I'll do the next show naked.
How do we know you're not already?
Mystery
and intrigue.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I'm really hot too. Yeah, and I'm a girl and I play video games. So, yeah, listen to us. Cheers.
Of course, now the trick is to get them to forget that you're married.
Oh, that's right.
Anyway, so first web poll. You can reply to this either through email. Hit us up with that, Dana.
made_of_fail@yahoo.com.
Or you can reply to this to the our LiveJournal community, which this will be posted to. The responses to the web poll will be kept anonymous. It is screened, and these will not be shown.
You still haven't said what the question is.
Well, I'm setting up how the whole thing works first.
I'm sorry for tripping on your intro there.
Okay. Anyway, but the answers to this and any future web polls, we will select the best and discuss them on air. Anyway, first like web poll.
Okay.
First web poll. Tell us what your favorite old video game is and your best memory from it. Why is this your favorite video game of all time?
Is it any surprise for me to say Final Fantasy?
The original?
Well,
or are you going to go with
Are we doing old school? Or are we just going... Are we talking like...
I'm trying... Okay, well, I'm trying to be like your favorite classic video game, and this can
Yeah,
be
you know what, since we discussed the... since this week we had the Why the Angry Video Game... Yeah, that video game nerd is awesome. I think we should keep it to...
Okay,
No further than the Super Nintendo Sega Genesis. Or do you want to stretch it a little further and say no further than the N64? Because that has some good stuff on it.
Yeah, I don't know if it would be called classic at this point.
About 10 years old.
Okay, well, sure. Up through the Nintendo 64 and the original Sony PlayStation.
Okay. Well, then I gotta say Final Fantasy VIII.
The Dreamcast will also be acceptable here.
Oh, what about the 3DO? You're being racist.
Okay, anything older than 10 years ago? Anything? Your favorite game from 1998 or before? Anywhere from from Pong to Super Kirby's Adventure.
And if you email us and you start bitching about how come we didn't say anything about the Atari Jaguar, then you suck and you shouldn't be emailing us.
Anyway, web poll. Answer. We have listeners, including random guy from Minnesota. So let us know.
Okay, last thing I want to mention. I promise, I know I'm talking like the entire episode. I mentioned Dissidia last week, Final Fantasy Dissidia for the PSP. I found a whole bunch more news on it.
Oh?
And we've got Tetsuya Nomura, who did the character design for a lot of the Final Fantasy games. He also designed the characters for Dissidia. He's confirmed there are 20 characters, hasn't said whether or not they're all playable. Now, from the trailer, we have 12 confirmed characters. It looks like everybody's sort of splitting up into light and dark. There's a hint of a storyline involving crystals and two gods called Cosmos and Chaos. Chaos, mm-hmm. as you might remember, was the final form of Garland from Final Fantasy I way back when. So Cosmos is sort of Chaos's opposite number. Now, I'm not sure, you know, obviously we don't know anything about, you know, why they're at odds with each other, you know, in this game, but we know that they're all split up, and the confirmed characters, of which there are 12, we have from Final Fantasy I, a Warrior of Light, who has no name, and Garland. From 2, we've got Furion and Emperor Palamecia.
Mm-hmm.
From 7, yes, we have Sephiroth. From 8, we've got Squall and Ultimecia. 9, we've got Zidane and Kuja. And from 10, we've got Tidus. And then there's also Cosmos and Chaos themselves, so that's 12. The hinted characters, who we haven't seen in the trailer, but there's, like, almost confirmed speculation. From Final Fantasy III, we've got Lunith and Cloud of Darkness. From 5, we've got Bartz and Exdeath. 6, they've gotta have Kefka. And
How awesome would a Sephiroth versus Kefka deathmatch
be? That's why I'm really hoping all the characters are playable, or at least let them be unlockable.
Yeah.
And then I was gonna say, oddly enough, from 10, they've got Ject under Chaos's side, but you know, come to think of it, I guess putting Yu Yevon in there would have been kind of insulting and hard to play with.
Well, yeah, because so then you're the opponent's life bar would just keep filling up.
I don't want to fight a tick. I was so pissed off at the end of that game because it was so easy. But Ject, I guess I've seen him on a poster, and on some promotional materials in his human form, but I'm sort of hoping he's in his final Aeon form, because that would be really cool to see him, you know, flip around and stuff like that. So that's six hinted characters, and so that's the, there's two blank spots remaining. No heroes from 7 or 6. I think, you know, we can probably all guess that 7's gonna end up being Cloud, big surprise. 6 is a lot. I want to say they're either going to go, and this is just my personal speculation, with Terra, Celis, or Locke. It's kind of a male-heavy game, so I would really like to see Terra or Celis. But if
Terra's
I had to make
awesome.
A guess, it would probably end up being Terra, just so you can do a cool, like, limit break, morph into Esper mode kind of fight thing. Because mm-hmm. we've seen Trance Kuja and Trance Zidane. From, you know, in the 9 battle in the trailer. When mm-hmm. I'm kind of weirded out that there's nobody from 12 represented, unless they started designing this, you know, before
Maybe
12.
Maybe they didn't get the rights to it.
Yeah,
Was it a different character designer in 12?
Come to think of it, I'm not 100% sure, but Tetsuya Nomura also didn't do the characters from the earlier games, and he ended up getting license to redesign those.
Okay.
You know, that was all Yoshitaka Amano.
Fair enough.
So no, I don't know who the characters and designers for 12 were, which is shameful of me, because I'm supposed to be a big old fangirl. And, you know, I know we talk about this as it's gaming news, and we're really RPG heavy, but that's what we like to play. And if you have any other news, write in and tell us, and we'll be more than happy to discuss it on the show.
I love other kinds of games, it's just that we just end up talking about these.
Well, this is our specialty.
Write us and, yeah, write us, and just for anything, write us, tell us what you think. Write in comments that you might, things that you might want us to discuss that are not video game related.
As long as it's geek-centric, we are more than happy to do
have to be
listener-based content.
It doesn't have to be geek-centric, as long as it relates to people of our generation, but it's just... Anything you want us to discuss, if we want to discuss it, we'll air it. If we don't want to discuss it, well, you know, obviously we won't. So anything you want to write in, just let us know. We've done this for 3 episodes now. I know we have listeners.
Yeah, I know you're out there. I can hear you breathing.
Yeah, mostly because I went and pestered people and told them I wouldn't let them rest until they listened to it. But let us know what you think, okay? We're doing this for free. We kind of want to have some kind of responses back.
Oh, now you're just begging for it. You're acting desperate. No one's ever going to go to the prom with you if you come off like that.
Ah, memories.
All right. Oh, all right. Last thing. I promise. I know. I just keep going. Watchmen trailer's up. I'm going
to
link to it, and
we'll
it's awesome.
To that. Is the Watchmen trailer before The Dark Knight?
Yes,
in
it
theaters?
Is. And I'm all going right. to go see Dark Knight on Sunday, and I'll be fangirling all over it next episode.
Excellent. So that'll be something to look forward to, listeners. Dark Knight review next episode.
Yeah, and if you've seen it already, you know, write in, tell us, and
maybe
if you're really nice to us, we'll read it on the air.
I'm kind of sensing a theme here.
Well, anyway. I'm at the end of my soda bottle, and my big effing cue is kicking in, and I'm starting to get a little NyQuil dizzy. So this episode has been brought to you by a gigantic letter Q and the common cold virus.
Thank you, both the Q and the common cold virus. And thank you once again for listening. This has been the third episode of
Made a Fail.
Have a good night.
Neurotoxin. So deadly. Joking.
I'm kidding.